HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Okay, so today I'm joined by Oliver Daniels, who is Client Services Manager at Bright Horizons, and by Sarah Noppy, who is Senior Global Benefits Manager at Log Me In. Guys, you're very, very welcome to the podcast. How are you both doing?
Very good, thank you, Declan.
Yes, very well, thanks.
Brilliant. Guys, we're going to talk about parental leave, family leave, how difficult it's been basically managing family or carer life during the pandemic. Before we do that, do you both want to maybe just give a quick intro as to who you are and your organizations? Sarah, I'll start with you, if that's okay.
So I'm Sarah Noppy. I am Senior Manager for Global Benefits at a company called Log Me In. We do remote-centric products, GoToMeeting, GoToWebinar, LastPass, and I am based in Dublin, Ireland.
Great. And Oliver?
My name is Oliver Daniels. I'm a Client Services Manager at a company called Bright Horizons. We're a supplier of what we call family-friendly workplace solutions for employers looking to support their working parents and carers through all the challenges that working life can throw at them at the same time, something that's been obviously exacerbated by the recent pandemic, of course. Been with the company for 10 years and strong presence in Ireland, and I've been a frequent visitor to the country myself over the last 10 years pre-pandemic, and we'll hope to be so again.
So yeah, look, it's really transformed the pandemic, how the work dynamic has worked. There's definitely a faded line now between work life and family life, and what that looks like in the future, who knows. Oliver, what are you noticing at the moment, or what's the current situation? And I do appreciate this is changing on a daily basis in terms of, you know, when schools will open, when care will open, levels of lockdown. But what's your observations of the market?
As you said, Declan, unprecedented changes over the last 12 months or so in particular. Again, we would often talk about getting work for family and making it really work. That's always been our kind of mission, if you like. But what we've seen is that in many ways, parents, working parents in particular, have faced what we call a double whammy over the last 12 months, because we've all been, you know, badly affected by the epidemic on a personal level, on a social level, on an economic level, and country-wise. I think for working parents in particular, and especially the parents of school-aged children, they've been hit by what we've been talking about as a double whammy over the last 12 months, because not only have they been, you know, struggling to cope with things like remote working and working from home, but they've also been struggling to live with a school-free world. So trying to homework and remote school at the same time, or you can switch those around if you like, I often get them mixed up, but trying to homeschool and remote work, and quite frankly, unless you literally are Superman or Superwoman, doing both of those quite badly. So it's become really, really apparent and really clear that, you know, working parents are facing this double whammy and need as much support and help as they can possibly get. Very often that's had to actually come from employers, and that's been critical. And what's been kind of really reassuring, I suppose, to see, and quite inspiring, is that actually many, many employers have really stepped up to the plate and really stepped in and made as much help as they can do over these last 12 months.
Yeah, really interesting how it has changed, and different employers have sort of amended their offering, and that we'll get to more of that in a little while. Sarah, Log Me In, obviously, as you mentioned, does a lot of the tools are designed, I suppose, for remote working. Do you want to tell us just a little bit more about what you guys offer, and just a little bit more about the Log Me In story, I guess?
Yeah, so I think we were uniquely positioned in this pandemic to really support not only our customers, but our employees too, and really put the focus on, well, how do we support the working parent? And even before we knew that there was a pandemic, part of our 3-year strategy was to really focus on supporting the family for 2021. So it's kind of aligned just perfectly. And so we were really thinking as an organization, culturally, what can we do to make our parents feel more supported? And then with the pandemic, it became even more important for us. And so a little bit of background of to how we got to where we are right now.
I presume the pandemic has been a good thing for Log Me In's business model, and in terms of, you know, it's just driven more people into your needing your services. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have been going, we've had a great year and a lot of busy people working away as a result of this. And so, you know, everyone is working from home now. And so what does this mean? How do we get that work-life balance, that separation? How do we, you know, really support all of our employees that are going through this, regardless of if they're a caregiver or not, because it was a great adjustment. But I do have to say that the leadership team here at LogMeIn is fantastic. It is top of mind on what we do, and full support to get that across the line.
And you mentioned there, Sarah, that it was already on your trajectory or already on your plan in terms of, you know, making this more available to working parents. What was the catalyst of that before the pandemic, if you like?
Yeah, our demographics. The majority of our employees are within the 29 to 33 years of age range. And so that is, you know, you're starting your family, you already have a child, and you know, what does that look like? And then we also have a group of employees who they're the sandwich generation, they call that, where they're caring for their elderly parents as well as caring for their children. So again, you know, it was really more than just parents. It was really a focus on family and however you define family, and just making sure that wherever you are in that journey, you're supported.
And do you guys view it as not only an talent acquisition tool, but a retention tool? Like, do you feel you'd be at a disadvantage in terms of that sort of war for talent? I hate that term, but in terms of war for talent.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's in the tech industry, it's assumed that you will have this level of support. And if you don't, to your point, Declan, the talent is going to leave, or they're not going to come. And again, so we really wanted to make this keep our talent and really attract the new hires that are thinking, oh, I might look into LogMeIn.
Yeah, it's almost the remote working now, it's almost become a baseline, isn't it, in terms of, like, as you said, sir, people expect it. Okay, so look, it's no coincidence the two of you are on the same podcast today. Oliver, do you want to just explain the partnership that yourself in Bright Horizons and Sarah's team in LogMeIn have embarked on?
Certainly. Thanks, Declan. But, and first of all, Sarah and I go back a bit of a way. I know Sarah from her LinkedIn days as well before she moved over to LogMeIn. And she's always been a champion, I think, of supporting working families in the workplace. And it's something that we've been able to partner with quite effectively. I suppose when it comes to our mission, if you like, in Ireland and in the UK, and that piece I mentioned about supporting working parents and carers through all of the challenges that life throws at them, what that means realistically on the ground is, you know, in a typical year pre-COVID, for example, the average working parent would have had anything from 5 to 9 what we would refer to as childcare breakdowns. It's where their regular childcare falls through for whatever reason. And what it's doing is impacting on their ability to continue to deliver at work. We have a program that we call Backup Care, which actually speaks to that very specifically. And the reason I'm bringing that piece up is that traditionally your Backup Care network was with mom and dad, it was your friends and your family, your extended support network. But one of the really things that have been coming to light over the last 10 years is, as demographics that Sarah mentioned, is increasing mobility on a global, national and regional level that you see, and even on a local level. That means people move further away from those traditional family support mechanisms. And when things do go wrong, they can't fall back on those supports. So therefore, they're needing support in other ways. And that's where the employees have been stepping into the mix. And as I mentioned, you know, with Sarah, we'd certainly seen that, first of all, with LinkedIn and now with LogMeIn. And one of the things that certainly has struck us is that if you're a great place to work, your people want to stay with you. So, but you mentioned about talent retention. It means that they're growing up with you. And as they're going through what we call life stages for each of those journeys, they're going to need different levels of practical support and tools. And that's exactly what we're trying to help them do and provide. And it's certainly something we've seen in Ireland in particular. I mentioned earlier when we first started speaking that I've been visiting Ireland since 2010. And at the time we first came over, there were maybe 4 or 5 employers that were putting in place the kind of programs that we've got here that are really innovative. And they came from a few key industries, I suppose, industries that attract a lot of inward investment from an international level. But industries also have quite a lot of that kind of mobility piece, that migration piece, both internationally and nationally and locally. When I look now, 10 years later, as we fast forward, we are currently 40 or so employers in Ireland right now, many of them leading employer brand names that you would recognise, who support working parents and carers with the measures and ranges of benefits that we have in place that will help them. And that means there's something like well over 50,000, sorry, probably more, actually more than that, working parents and carers right now in Ireland who have been able to access additional levels above and beyond things that you would normally see from employers. So an employer may have a supportive culture, be quite relaxed and helpful, or they may not. They may offer things like, talk about that attraction piece, they may offer things like enhanced maternity pay to encourage the retention and return of women to the workplace after maternity leave, for example. And they may offer things like coaching and so on. But actually, what they're starting to do is say, well, you'll need to spread it out a little bit more and do a bit more around it. I mentioned that backup care piece to you just a few moments ago. That's definitely probably our number one tool in enabler, something that we've seen grown a lot over those 10 years. It's where you can book something like an emergency care and nanny to come to the home in the case of your regular care falling free, but you've still got to meet that work deliverable. And so the main thing it does from a business perspective is it's a productivity gain. So it means that those, literally we measure it in terms of tens of thousands of work days that are lost every year to breakdowns in care. During COVID, what we saw was actually, it wasn't so much about breakdowns in care, but that piece I mentioned about school-free world. So parents who are working from home, struggling to do that at the same time as remote school, doing both quite badly, actually able to use that piece to the backup care bit to have someone coming home, look after the children so they can have that important Zoom meeting, have that important log me in meeting, that presentation, that interview, whatever it might be. And I suppose, you know, that's that piece that's been really important during what we can call this kind of crisis. I mean, in the UK, they refer to it as the spirit of the Blitz, you might say, that kind of idea that we're all mucking in together, we're all helping out. And it's definitely been a case of, as you said, that supportive bit from the leadership, helping people, helping parents as they do that there and then. I think that's critical.
I'm going to go back to one of the first things you said there, 5 to 9 childcare breakdowns per year. That's that feels about right to me, and at the same time is a bit scary. I've been there. I've done that. So let's get into the nitty gritty. How does that work? So I'm meant to have a child minor today. I get a call at the last minute and the person can't make it for whatever reason. What does that look like in a program with yourselves?
Well, typically what an employer would do is say, we recognize this need, we're well aware of it, whether or not our parent caring networks are speaking to us about it already, or we're seeing absences that we know are down to parenting, the breakdowns in parenting care arrangements. We will build a platform, if you like, a website that people can book, an employee at a particular company can book an alternative high quality care at very short notice. So in that scenario you just mentioned, you'll be able to either log on or download the app or call in and speak to the team and arrange for an emergency nanny, fully vetted, high caliber, call them nannies in the UK and then childminders in Ireland mostly, to come to the home at very short notice. Currently in Ireland, that's a 2-hour window needed to get, let's call her Mary Poppins, to your door, floating in to provide that care just as you can continue to work. And that's a genuinely nationwide service, and it's something we've seen that massive take up with. As an employer, they would say, well, look, you know, based on all our various kind of cultural and priorities and other budgeting priorities, et cetera, we're going to subsidize as an employee benefit a certain number of backup care days that you can use per year as and when you have those care breakdowns. And that depends on the company and its priorities. So you get 2 to as much as 20, entirely up to the business. But they'll say to you, just like you get paid sick leave and paid holiday, you also get these backup care days that you can use. And from an employee perspective, it's funded by your employer. So that's that really generous piece there. From an employer perspective, they're doing it to, A, you know, support your health and well-being, of course, which is really important to them, and address that productivity loss that we've spoken about as well. And then that piece you mentioned about talent attraction and retention. We ourselves, you know, fund quite a lot of research into the whole kind of childcare working market. And, you know, our Modern Families Index shows that for a working parent, if their employers put in place these kind of support mechanisms, they're 80% more likely to stay with the business in the long term. So you're going to keep that talent, which then kind of moves you on into the bit around we talk about things like the last few years in particular. What we've been seeing with this kind of support is when you look at that thing around that critical issue around the retention of female talent, the gender pay gap, something we've seen reporting in the UK and Ireland in particular. Both countries have led the way in that compared to the rest of Europe. And we know that it's a really difficult needle to shift. We've seen that there are some, you know, ingrained societal issues that mean that men are occupying those top kind of quartile of pay bands. And that's very often just to do with the way we all work in demographics. But if you put in place the right kind of coaching and the right kind of support, what you're going to do in terms of the female talent pipeline is ensure that you're getting your female talent to stay with the business, to continue staying with the business and to continue to be promoted and get up into the senior management levels, into the C-suite, into the board and so forth.
Good. Yeah. The return on investment on lost days, I think, is something people underappreciate. Not only if I go missing for a day, that's got a knock-on effect on my team and people around me. It's not just the one person. So I do. The impact is there. There's no question about that. Sarah, when I introduced you, I did introduce you as global, senior global benefits manager. So this obviously for an organization like yourselves, do you guys roll it out across multiple countries? And if so, is there a differentiation there? Do you need to look at different countries in different ways, or is this one size fits all?
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely depends on what is available in that particular country. So yes, we were in 16 different countries, and I would have loved to roll this out in 16 different countries, but we don't have that one provider yet, Oliver, who's across the globe. So we rolled it out in Ireland, UK, US. The Canada launch is going to be forthcoming any week now. And the team also introduced me to, how would you describe your partner in Germany, Oliver? Is that like a sister partner or?
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. And first of all, Sarah, we're working on it. Don't you worry. You know, our plans, our global ambition to be able to provide us everywhere is definitely there. In Germany, you're absolutely right. PME, one of our key partners, a company we've invested in. That's one of the things that we do is we look at where it's appropriate to be able to provide this kind of support. Interestingly, you know, again, I've mentioned Ireland and the UK and the US, obviously leading the way in this kind of family support. But it's definitely something that we're seeing kind of start to become more and more relevant and important on a global basis for global employers. And I think, yeah, you're absolutely right. Also, Sarah, that bit about on a country, but interestingly, it's a global pandemic. Responses and the way it's affected individual countries actually have been quite markedly different at times, even between countries so closely related as the UK, Ireland, and the US, in fact. We're all very keenly aware, of course, of the Delta variant and what impact that's had. And for businesses with presences there, they've had to adjust and respond in a different way than they've had to in the UK, US, Ireland, and parts of Europe, too.
Yeah, and I would say that we're at different phases of the pandemic as well. So, you know, each country that we have will have a different need at a different time. So, you know, what we're experiencing in Ireland is completely different than what we're experiencing in the US, where in Ireland, we're starting to work to fully open. And in the US, they're fully open, right? So even the backup care needs are different. I mean, it even goes to the school year, right? The school year is still going on here in Ireland. In the US, it's over. I'm not sure about the UK, but, you know, so yeah, it's definitely not a one size fits all solution. You really definitely have to think about the cultural aspects of it and then where that country is in the pandemic or even hopefully post-pandemic, what will work for them.
Yeah. And Sarah, when you guys rolled it out, what was the reaction from employees?
Yeah, so it was a really intense January and February. We rolled out a lot of family programs. So as a whole, I would say there was a sense of thank you for doing this, right? Because when we were doing the employee voice surveys, we were hearing from our caregivers that were saying, you know, I'm struggling, I need help. What can you do as a company to help support me? And so for the countries that we were able to roll this out in, it was spectacular and very well received.
Excellent. And then for either of you, like I have to say, I loved the sound of it when I first heard about it because I could immediately relate to it and what the impact was like. So, you know, straight away I was like, pick works for me. What else can employers do? I mean, most of our, if not all of our listeners are, you know, in the HR field. What else can employers do to help carers, to help with families just get through this? And again, like none of us, I would imagine very few of us are going back to the office full time. So this is a, you know, this, or even if you're in the office, this impacts. So what else can employers do to help this at this time?
Yeah, so some of the things that we've done at LogMeIn are really looking at our leave of absence policies and what that means, even from a, you know, maternity, paternity, parental, bereavement, sick leave, like all of these life events that happened. So, you know, we rolled out some changes in January. Also, we introduced a family ERG group. So when we were doing these listening sessions with the caregivers at the company, they were like always saying, wouldn't it be great if we had this one place where we could come together? So I understand that working parents have a lot on their plate. So I helped set up the family ERG, and then I've since stepped away from it. And it is, you know, it's active. It's a great resource for our employees. So if companies don't have an employee resource group, sorry, that's what an ERG is, you know, I would definitely recommend that. And, you know, just I think having a culture of flexibility also supports the caregivers. And, you know, again, so these are just some of the things that we've done internally. Oliver, I don't know if you've seen companies do anything else. I'd be interested in listening to that as well.
Always happy to share our learnings and our expertise there, Sarah. First of all, you've kind of hit the nail on the head. There are three key things when we talk about what's going on beyond COVID, life after COVID. That piece you mentioned about flexibility, a buzzword we've all heard is hybrid working. And all I can say is, I'd actually put a superlative in front of it and say super flexible, super hybrid. What we're seeing across our range, and you know, we've currently got, I mentioned there's 40 clients in Ireland, about 300 in the UK, about another 1,000 or so in the US. We've got this wide range of these employers who are all, in many ways, certain universals are emerging. And one of them is this kind of super flexible approach to how much time you spend in the office and how much time you spend at home in the UK and in Ireland. And certainly what's starting to come out also is not just that, there's certainly not going to be that return to office. The 5-day a week in the office model is almost certainly dead. Interestingly, you know, 6 months ago, employers have started to say, look, we're going to see probably a 3-2 split or a 4-1 split. You know, parents and working parents and carers. In fact, anyone is going to be able to work 3 days at home roughly and 2 days in the office or vice versa or whatever. Now we're seeing is that, yeah, that's certainly the case where you've got companies at either end of the spectrum. You'll see it in the media. You'll see it in companies like Goldman Sachs talking about wanting everyone back in the office full time as soon as possible. Here in the UK, we've got one of our leading retail banks nationwide saying everyone who can work from home can work from home all the time. Facebook are a good example of that too, of course, saying that if you want to, you can go fully remote. But the truth is that most people want some kind of a balance. But what's interesting is that week to week, it won't necessarily be fixed days. So I may work one day in the office this week, Wednesday, and then next week I may come in Tuesday and Thursday. The week after, I might do Monday and Wednesday. So businesses, the employers that we see to are gearing up to be super flexible like that. So they're certainly repurposing their office spaces. Some of them are downsizing that estate, if you like, in preparation for this. And again, what's coming to the fore is that working parents are going to need that flexibility most of all, some of them, because, you know, they don't want to be going to school. Schools may suddenly have to close, and at short notice, if we see these variants surging and so on, we see about the Delta variant, what used to be called the India variant and so forth, and what impact that may have. So parents are going to be adjusting to that and pivoting towards being super flexible, and so are their employers. So that's the first thing we're seeing. Then we've seen a building out of the current EVP, if you like, the employee value proposition, in terms of the support already in place. So what we're seeing is that backup care, for example, when I mentioned that different companies will subsidize different numbers of days, quite a lot of our clients come back to us and saying we need to increase and ramp up that level. If we were providing 10 days or 5 days last year, from now on we're going to start providing 10 days or sometimes even more. Again, the great thing about the model is it's super flexible. You can actually ramp it up or ramp it down, you know, according to your needs as a business as well. So you're not stuck in or tied into that. One of the things that we've seen is increasing in something that Sarah's touching on was also leave, paid leave for parents. Something that we've seen growing over the last few years is right now, working parents and carers have the right to statutory unpaid leave. If they have a breakdown in care, they can just say, look, I can't come in today. I won't take a day's pay, but I'm just not going to be in. I'm not sick. I'm not taking a day's holiday. I'm just not going to come in. A lot of the more forward-thinking employers, both in the UK and in Ireland, have been saying, that's great. We're going to offer 5 days of emergency care leave where you have that breakdown. You can't come in and we'll pay for you anyway. Fantastic support there. Some of them are starting to build that out a little bit more too. So those are the three things we're seeing: that super flexible, super hybrid, increased support in terms of the practical piece around the backup care bit, building out that extra support in terms of paid or unpaid care as leave, enhancing, Sarah, what you touched on there, that cultural piece there around your ERGs, and sometimes those internal networks, they may be known as ECGs and or ESGs, employee support groups, whatever they are, but parent networks. To one degree or another, they've almost always been there on an informal or formal level, but employers are starting to invest a lot more time and effort into supporting that, increasing perhaps the level of engagement that they're seeing. So that's the fourth and final bit of the pie, if you like, or the puzzle, perhaps, is a better way of putting it.
Excellent. And just for people who aren't familiar, I guess, with ERGs, Sarah, it's fair to say they're like a voice of your employees. Is that correct? And they'll feedback to your management team, et cetera.
Yeah, so they are completely employee-led and designed, and programs, decisions are made at the employee level. So it is really, employee specific to whatever group that have come together. And, since we implemented the family's ERG, every day, like they just did a webinar on picky eating, and I'm jealous because it got more participants than any kind of webinar that I've launched from the benefits world. But again, because this was the employee needed it, they wanted it, they got it together. So it is great to see.
And it's great that you are listening to those employees. I think a lot of companies pay lip service to it, so I love hearing about it in action. And something, the last sort of thing I just want to quickly get you guys' opinion on, and it's connected to this, but I'll just ask the question. It's well documented that missing work days due to childcare disproportionately affects female workers more than male. Obviously a service like this would help impact that. Just any observations around that or any thoughts on it?
And if I may say that one, first of all, absolutely right. It certainly is well documented. And when we look at the user profiles and who books backup care more, we've got a pretty good gender split, actually, in terms of our user base, if you like. Something like that. I don't know the exact numbers for Ireland, but I know combined the UK and Ireland, it's about a quarter of a million working parents altogether using services like backup care. Probably around a 60-40 split in terms of women booking backup care rather than men. But I suppose in many ways, what's actually coming out and coming to light is that, it's two people parenting, whether or not you've got a same-sex parenting, your traditional nuclear family unit, whatever it is, whether or not you're the direct employee, both of you will use and book backup care. But absolutely, still definitely that lean towards the gender split in terms of more women booking and using it. I suppose you might say, however, our sample is a little bit biased and skewed because we've already working with those forward-thinking employers who are putting in place this support. So you're seeing it being used equally by both. But certainly in the wider kind of society and communities, we know that women have definitely been the ones who've been impacted the most.
And just from our perspective, we have seen, I would say you're about dead on there, Oliver, about a 60-40, 60% using the Bright Horizons benefit at LogMeIn has been female and 40% have been male. So it's definitely, it is true. The caregiving does lean more heavily on the female population. And, but that's not to say that is just carte blanche the case. Right. And I think, what's so great about this program is it helps everyone, and so it's great to see.
Final thing, anything on the horizon that you guys are excited about in either this area or in your wider sort of remits?
First of all, we're really excited about the continued vaccination rollout, allowing us to hopefully start to return to normal. I mean, bad news here in the UK with I'm in the UK right now, of course, Declan, that'd be a lockdown or the return to normal has to be extended by another 4 weeks. But with the vaccination rollout continuing apace, I know in Ireland, we're looking at something like aiming for 70% or 80%, of everyone having received their first dose by the end of this month. So 2 weeks away, yep. Bit of a challenge, I'm sure, but really fascinating here. And I think that's what we're really looking forward to is, there's certainly, and again, another phrase we've heard a lot of is the new normal. But certainly we are starting to see that return, that semblance being lost on and settle down. And we just would like to see that and hope to see that accelerated. And we're here to support our partners like LogMeIn to ensure that it does happen. In terms of anything specifically new coming out? Well, I don't think there's anything massively new apart from points I've mentioned around it's going to be super, super flexible. But what we're seeing is, just rightly so, an increased focus on working parents and carers and what a difference they're making.
Yeah, and for me, I would say that LogMeIn's decided to adapt a remote-centric model of work. So even after the pandemic and everything is open, we're still going to be giving the flexibility to our employees on whether or not, how often they want to come into the office. We don't think there's going to be many people who will be in 5 days a week because, you know, as we've learned in the past 17 months, you don't have to be in the office. And so I think that is going to be exciting and thrilling. And I know I myself am not I'm only less than 10 kilometers away from the office, and that would take me an hour and 15 minutes to get in. And so I'm excited for, you know, to Oliver's point, what this new normal looks like and how it translates and what new benefits come from that. And it's gonna I know everyone's looking at this as kind of the end of something, but for me, I'm really looking at it as the start of how we work and what we see. And so I'm excited for that, and we'll see where we end up.
I don't think we could end on a more optimistic and positive note, Sarah. So thanks for that. Guys, if people want to get in contact and maybe discuss the program or what you guys do, Oliver, or indeed what you guys do, Sarah, what's the best way to contact you?
LinkedIn's great. Just look for me, Oliver Daniels at Bright Horizons. You know, I like to think I'm fairly visible on there. Feel free to email me as well. I know you're going to put the contact details up. It's oliver.daniels@brighthorizons.com. So easy to reach that way as well.
And, you know, I know Oliver has mentioned that I am a former LinkedIn employee, so a little plug for that. I think it's a great platform, and I can definitely be reached on LinkedIn, Sarah Knoppe.
Brilliant. Thank you both so much. And as Oliver said, we'll link all of this below the podcast. Guys, it's been great chatting to you today. Thanks so much.
Thanks for your time. Loved it.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.